Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
Doing well, boys. How are you today?
Doing excellent. We'll get to the breaking. Well, let's start with the Harmonic news. Friedman
sure.
had it, and then Dregs pointed out Western Canada is where he wants to go. And I can't remember the last time that happened, where a 25-year-old right shot defenseman, $3.85 million cap hit, after this year, 4 years. So basically 5 years left on a really good deal. A guy who's a great, solid defenseman who plays 23 minutes a night. Like, this is pretty much what Oilers fans have been dreaming about for the last 3 years, and what they need. What do you think it costs to get them?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and you know, the part of all of this I wonder about is, you know, okay, so he's asked for a trade. He wants to be moved. He's got a specific place he wants to go to. Well, what does Garth Snow think about all this, and what's his tact going to be? And he's a bit of a wild card in all this, right? Because I mean, Garth Snow's Garth Snow. And they're known to play hardball over there, and that really comes from the owner down. They're known to play hardball. So just because he wants out, just because he's got a specific place he wants to go, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to play out that way. So let's assume for a moment that Garth Snow is willing to make a hockey trade, fair value in return for Travis Harmonic. I don't know that the New York Islanders have the ability to pull that player out of their lineup and take anything other than a really good defenseman in return for him. Between Boychuk and Letty, Harmonic, they've got DeHaan. I mean, they're not super deep on the back end. And so for all the talk about maybe getting forwards in return, I can't help but think that they'd want a defenseman back to replace those minutes and somebody that can step into their lineup right away and play not the same role, because then what's the point of the trade, but a similar type of player. So I would think the return would have to probably involve the core piece being a blue liner, wouldn't you?
Well, that's what I said, Oscar Klefbom.
Well, and that's what makes sense from a money standpoint. I mean, if you're the New York Islanders and you have to move him and you're looking for somebody who has potential on a decent deal that can replace those minutes. Now, the problem is Klefbom plays the other side, which kind of messes with their flow. But so if you're the Islanders, you're saying if it's the Edmonton Oilers, you're saying, okay, so it's Oscar Klefbom, but it certainly is not straight up for Oscar Klefbom. It's Klefbom and a significant draft pick, and maybe even the Oilers have to eat the difference in their salary and retain that so that money, it's straight up money for money, that it's the same for the Islanders, and it's Klefbom, it's Harmonic, and a really good draft pick. And that becomes the issue. How high is the draft pick? Because Harmonic is an established veteran defenseman on a long-term deal where he's underpaid, flat out. Still not sure we'll be talking about Klefbom being underpaid, but we're talking about Harmonic being underpaid.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Klefbom's contract doesn't start till next year, and that would be a 7-year deal, and at that point, Harmonic would only have 4 years left. So if they made that deal, I don't think Edmonton would have to retain any salary.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of splitting hairs at that point. They're kind of similar in that regard, but my point is that Harmonic, for the game he gives you and the money he makes, you're getting a bargain on that player for the amount of ice time that guy eats up. And let's assume it's going to be the more offensive Travis Harmonic than what we've seen this year. I mean, he's had years where offensively he's been really good. I mean, you look back even to a rookie season with 26 points in 62 games. I mean, that's good point production. 33 points in 71 games. This year, the offense isn't coming at the clip that it normally comes at for whatever reason. But let's assume that you're going to get between 28 and 35 points from this defense, and that's a decent amount. But he's also a very good, big, strong shutdown. You know, he's a two-way type defenseman, and he's on a fantastic contract. We're not saying the same thing about Oscar Klefbom yet. Klefbom has the potential to be a guy who, at this time next year or the year after, you're going, that's a great deal for him. But we're not sure yet or when he's going to get there. And the Islanders would need a lot more than Oscar Klefbom, I think, to make that deal make sense in their world.
Yeah, it's interesting, Ryan. We were batting names around here. And Snow has said it's not just, we're not looking for a prospect. We're not looking for a maybe. They need a sure thing, because that's what Hamonic is right now. If we move it up front, and I think you have to look at the back, like you said, they need a body back there. But for the sake of discussion, if you're looking at the guys up front, Where does the price tag stop for you? For me, the two names I'm not willing to move for this defenseman are Connor McDavid and Taylor Hall, which means, yes, I'd be willing to talk about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Leon Draisaitl. Where do you come down on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, Hamonic is a really, really good NHL defenseman. He's not a you wouldn't put, you know, quotations around him and call him a special player, I don't think. He's a really good NHL defenseman, and he's a top pairing guy on a lot of teams in this league. But he's not a special player. And so I think you need to be careful moving potentially special players to bring back. Now you gotta give something to get something, and I understand that. If we're talking Seth Jones, I'm more in line with your list, Robin. Seth Jones has the potential to be a special player in this league. Hamonic kind of is what he is. He's in that range age-wise where, you know, he's a good defenseman. He's a really good defenseman. I don't know how much better he's going to get. I'm pretty sure that the base level you'll get from him, assuming everything in his life is okay and you know, his play isn't going to dip for reasons off the ice, you know, that have to do with requesting a trade like this even. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that he's a special player, and I think you need to be careful. Draisaitl could be a very special player in this league based on what he's done already. Darnell Nurse could be a special defenseman in this league based on his age and what it looks like the athletic ability is. So yeah. I think you need to be careful. For me, I would probably be willing to include Jordan Eberle in a conversation that brings you defensemen of this caliber. But I don't know that I still think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins could be a special player in this league. He's still young and still still sort of finding his way through as a top flight center, and he's still relatively young. So I think you got to be careful about giving away guys that can be special. And Hamonic is an excellent defenseman, but I don't know that I'd give him that label.
Ryan Hrshak from TSN joins us. Travis Hamonic is on the now. He's been on the block quietly for a few months. He asked for this trade in the summertime, and the Islanders have yet to be able to come
up. Well, that's the thing, though. Doesn't that give us a little bit of an idea what's going on here, guys? Is that you respectfully go to the team and ask for your trade, and it doesn't happen, and you need out? What's the next step?
Well, yeah. Of course, yeah. The agent leaks it out, and you know you.
Yeah, now, and I'm not gonna. Yeah, I mean, I'm not stepping on Dregs' toes. I don't know who he's talking to, where he got it, or whatever. But it reads like he's asked for a trade a while ago. It hasn't happened. Now it's public to try and force the issue a little bit, which tells me if they weren't willing to do this deal when they were keeping it quiet, so now they're applying pressure to Gar Snow. And how is he going to react in that situation? Look at the way he's handled some of his good young players in contract negotiations. They've had no issue at all drawing a hard line with guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know that applying a bunch of pressure and forcing Gar Snow is necessarily going to get them the result they want, but they obviously, you know, probably felt like they had no choice. So I don't know if it's more likely a deal gets done today than yesterday before we all knew about this.
Well, usually when it becomes public, then it just becomes more of a distraction at times, and it usually does force trades to happen, not necessarily right away, but in a lot of cases out there. And who knows, maybe the Islanders were like, well, teams aren't offering us what I need, so I needed to go out there publicly so everybody knows who's in and who are the front runners. And if you don't want, like, if you're Calgary or Edmonton and you're Vancouver and you don't want the other one to get them, then you better step up to the plate.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the Oilers absolutely should be aggressive in pursuing this player. I think they should put together a really good offer to try and get this guy in, because the simple fact is, as you pointed out, Jay, he's a right-shot defenseman. He is a top-pairing defenseman that can play top-pairing minutes. He can put up some points. This is a really, really good player. Here's a question for you, though. You look at sort of his points. A little bit different, bigger guy, and I think he's maybe a little bit, well, not necessarily bigger, but maybe plays a little bit of a bigger game. But how much game is there between Jeff Petrie and Travis Hamonic, do you think, in terms of the quality of defensemen, the minutes that they're capable of playing and what they're capable of giving you points-wise? Is there that huge gap between the two?
I think Hamonic, if you look at his, I'd be very curious to see his matchups. He plays the harder minutes. Subban plays a lot of the tough minutes in Montreal. So I would take Hamonic over Petrie.
Yeah, and I would too. But this goes back to when you talk about what you should be willing to give up for the player. how do you categorize this player? And how do you categorize how good he can be for you and how much of a difference maker he can be for you? And I think when you start talking about trading guys like Nugent Hopkins or Draisaitl or even Darnell Nurse, I think you need to be careful about the quality of player you're bringing back, because what you're giving up, it could be one of those ones where, you know, years later you're just absolutely shaking your head going, holy smokes, this guy's now a top three center in the world.
Yeah.
And they gave him up for a defenseman who was a very good 30-point defenseman.
Yeah, I don't see those three names that you mentioned being – now, I'm sure Garcinot would ask for it, but I don't see those being guys that you would make that trade for a harmonica. Let's move to the game tonight. And
sure.
The Oilers, you know, something that we haven't touched on a whole bunch, but the injuries to Hendricks and Korpikoski, it's no surprise that the Oilers' penalty kill has really kind of gone into the gutter here the last 3 or 4 weeks with those two on the sidelines.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, Todd was asked about that today. Nugent Hopkins will see some penalty killing time as well. So you would expect this portion of their game to get better. And that's what the Oilers need right now. They need small improvements in different areas. And the penalty kill was a strength for them, and it needs to be a strength for them. If you're going to have that many third and fourth line players in your roster, you might as well have a good penalty kill. It was even to the point there where McDavid was killing some penalties for them too. So they've missed it. These are two important players for them. They're bit players, but they're important bits. And getting Korpikoski back, although I expect it'll take them a couple of games to hit full stride, it should be a big help for them with the penalty kill.
Yeah, penalty kill first, but also, Ryan, while they're never going to be prolific, one of the problems lately has been secondary scoring. If you're not getting it from, well, one line mostly, but if you're not getting it from your top six, you've got to get it from somewhere else. And while they're not going to light it up, they provide sparks. They provide opportunities. Matt Hendricks is that kind of player. Lauri Korpikoski has shown some offensive skill at times. They need somebody else to score than the guys on that first line.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, for that, I'm looking at Benoit Pouliot, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Jordan Eberle. Like,
yeah.
The Oilers have two good scoring lines put together tonight, you guys. I mean, between Hall and Draisaitl and Purcell and Pouliot, Nugent-Hopkins, and Eberle, I mean, they should have a dual scoring threat tonight. So, I mean, would it be nice if Yakupov could find some offense? Yeah, you know, should they want some offensive ability from Korpikoski? Sure, but I mean, those top two lines should be able to produce. There's enough skill and talent there that they should be able to gun with the Blackhawks a little bit here. Now, defensively is where it's going to be sketchy tonight for the Oilers, because, as we know, it's the Achilles heel on this team and this Chicago team. I mean, this Kane and Panarin, the combination of the two of them is just, it's lethal, absolutely lethal. And they're a nightmare for defensemen from a mobility standpoint. So the Oilers are going to have to be all over it from a matchup standpoint. You can't get stuck with a guy who has a tough time, you know, making the quick turns and doesn't have the mobility out there against that line, or they'll get killed. So they need to have, you know, they need to have their athletic guys that can skate out against Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin tonight, or it'll be ugly, because these guys can absolutely scorch them.
And this Panarin's just like found money, isn't he, Shauger?
Oh, totally.
I mean, holy
ridiculous.
Cow. This is one of those, really? We got this? I mean, this kid can shoot the puck.
Yeah, and I mean, man, for the Blackhawks to have been able to just go get this guy, there were a few other teams in the mix. Pull him out of the KHL and steps into the lineup and barely speaks the language at all. Point of game player, not very big, undrafted, and immediate chemistry with the most important player that Chicago has. Mm. It's just, it's found money, and it's ridiculous, and that's a team that already had a lot of offensive ability. I mean, everybody, they had to move Patrick Sharp, and people kind of go, ooh, what's that going to look like? And then, I mean, missed a beat. I mean, this guy stepped in and immediately filled a hole and just made the offense every bit what it ever was. And now Patrick Kane somehow, I mean, I did a story on Patrick Kane today. This guy, for him to have been able to do what he's able to do this year with all the distractions and all the things that he's had going on in his life, I mean, he's scoring goals at twice the pace this season than his career average. He's got 0.78 or 0.72 goals per game this year, and his career average is 0.35. I mean, and I know he's on a streak here, and it's a smaller sample size, but we're almost at a quarter of a season for him. His game has gone to a whole different level. despite everything he's going through. So it's pretty impressive, and they are deadly.
The Hawks, but you know what's funny, Ryan, is the Oilers, for reasons unexplained, have been able to light up the Chicago Blackhawks over the last few years. 9-2, 8-4, 7-4. It gets,
I know.
It's rather surprising, and they'll need it tonight. Obviously, their top line has a lot of confidence, but for the Oilers to win, their second line, and you know, ideally that third line of Hendricks, Yakupov, and Letestu, who created some good chances in L.A., just got to finish.
I'm not holding my breath. I'm just not. I mean, Letestu just has not produced any offense this year. Yakupov's in a bit of a dry run here. We'll see, and it'll be a huge bonus if they get it. But honestly, if they end up playing even tonight, maybe win the scoring chance battle, I'm just not expecting offense from the third line at this point based on the way that they're playing right now. And we'll see. Maybe they bust out of that. And Todd thought that Yak's game last game was good, and that he was one of their better forwards and created chances. So, okay. But to me, what they do is they make the Blackhawks gunners want a gun, right? The Oilers open it up and they get into a bit of a track meet. And the Oilers are one of the few teams around that actually have players who, you know, forwards 1 through 5 can actually hang with the Blackhawks from a skill and speed standpoint. And so I think the Blackhawks get away from what they do well when they play Edmonton, because they kind of want to run and gun a little bit, and it's not overly physical, and they like to open it up. And if Edmonton can get them to do that a little bit, then you're in a battle of chances, and that favors Edmonton, because when it's time to lock it down and play smart hockey, the Blackhawks clearly have the edge, and really the blue line is, you don't need to point any further than that.
It'll be an interesting one tonight. It'll be interesting to watch the Travis Hamonic trade talks over the next few weeks, with the Oilers definitely being one of the teams heavily in the mix for sure.
And they should be. And it would be a good break for an organization, depending on what they got to give up. But a right shot guy that can eat those kind of minutes, that's a real good player. And if they don't have to give away the farm to get him, I think they should be really aggressive in trying to bring this player in.
Shager, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, guys, take care.